Kedivri Hayamim Perik Yud Aleph Pasik Tesvav Vayamel Lo Kohanim Labamos Vla Seirim Vla Golim Asher Osa. We are here. We are referring to Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat. He, to recap, he split off from Rechavam. He rebelled. He took with him 10 Shvatim. And he did not.
Kohanim?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Well, because it says.
So today we may not know for certain 100% if Kohanim that claimed to be Kohanim.
No, they were. It does not appear they pretended to be Kohanim. They were from other Shvatim. His whole. First of all, the Aseres HaShvatim, by and large, disappeared. They went into gold. They're not around, but as far as we know, by and large. So this doesn't affect us today. But they function as priests, but they were not from Shevet Levi, they were not from Kohanim, they were people, they were impostors. And the whole Mikdash, the temple that he built, was not the real thing. The only Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim, and here he built for himself his private temple, one in Basel and one in Don. The reason is to recap, the reason why he did this was because in the very beginning, when he broke off from the Malchus of Yehuda, his kavana, it appears there was still some degree they cooperated together. The Melech Yehuda, together with the Melech Yisrael, there appeared to have been some degree of cooperation where they were even willing, there was even a havamina, that they would all come on the Sholosh Regalim to the Beis HaMikdash. The only problem was, there is the halacha, Ein Yeshiva B'Mikdash, El Malchei Beisav Bilvad. The only one that's allowed to sit in, this is the halacha L'Moshe, Mesinai Yitzim, Mesorah, the only one that's allowed to sit, the only civilian that's allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash is the Melech, that is a descendant of Yehuda, of David. We discussed many times about the Kohanim. Are the Kohanim allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash? So generally speaking, no. But when they eat karbanos, when they eat the kachem, we know that the achlu or samasher kubam, it's critical part of the avodah is to eat from the basar kadashim to bring atonement to the ba'olim. Did they sit down? Today, if your children will be standing, would be sitting yourself, if you would not tolerate, it's not their heretz to stand when you eat. When you eat, it's the proper thing to sit down at the table. So could it really be that the kohanim, when they ate this meat with all different spices, condiments, and who knows what, they were standing in the Beis HaMikdash when they ate? Kodesh Kodashim can only be in the Azara. Kodeshim Kalim can be in the entire Yerushalayim. But Kodesh Kodashim must be in the Azara. In the Azara, did they actually stand and eat these large portions of meat every single day? Can it really be? So the truth is, this is Machlokes Rishonim. The Meiri says, absolutely not. It says in the Pasuk L'moshcha, it's a Pasuk which we learn L'moshcha that has to be eaten in the state of nobility. That when the Kohanim, that's why the Kohanim eat, they're allowed to bring salt and spices and anything they want they can use to embellish, to enhance the preparation. There was a kitchen, there was a chef, there was a gourmet meals being served for the Kohanim, and it doesn't make sense that they would eat it when they were sitting down. And therefore, indeed, they did sit. And that's why in all the pictures, according to the Mir, according to many Rishonim, all the models that you look, and I learned many learn Masechta Yoma, and they have all these nice models and pictures of the Beis HaMikdash, there's something that's missing. You know what's missing? Picnic tables. There were picnic tables, literally, there were picnic tables in the Azara for the Kohanim to sit down and eat all of the Kadashim. They didn't sit on the floor, they sat on picnic tables. Unless you want to say the Orientals, they sit on the floor, they sit down. What?
Why not pillows?
Maybe, but they sat down. There had to be some accommodations to sit down. But doesn't it say in Chazal, Middle East, they sit down? The Ben Yehoyada. Could be. Well, not everyone. There were different. We have to assume there were different 24 mishmaros. Each mishmar had a different approach to custom. If today it is acceptable by and large, the majority of clients should sit by tables, it's not so far-fetched to say that then, back then, there were people that actually also would prefer to sit at a table. The Gemara talks about, you have a shulchan. It can't just so be that they sat on the floor. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they did. But this is a very big issue, l'halacha, did they sit or did they stand when they ate kadashim? But according to the Rishonim that are of the opinion that indeed they did sit, So it comes out that what's the difference between the Kohanim who sat and David HaMelech who sat? The difference is, the Kohanim only sat when they were eating. But when they were not eating, they were required, al pi halacha, to stand. A melech, a Yisrael, does not eat kodshei kodashim. Kodshei kodashim is only by Kohanim. And Yisraelim never eat kodshei kodashim, so the Yisraelim have to always stand. The only exception is the melech. He is allowed to sit in the Azara. Yeram ben Avi was afraid that when it would come, the Shalosh Regalim, the first regal after the rebellion, everyone would come to Yerushalayim, to the only Beis HaMikdash, and he would come there, he would meet Rechavam. Rechavam would sit, and it would not be tolerated to let Yeram ben Avi. They would not allow him to sit, even though he was a melech, even though he was legitimate to some degree, he was authorized by the Navi Achia Hashiloni, and even though he had the following of 10 Shvatim, you can't consider him to be a murder by Malchus, according to the whole thing that we discussed yesterday, but still, after everything is said and done, he's not allowed to sit. He has to stand. And when they would put the two together, the king of Yehuda and the king of Yisrael, and the king of Yehuda would be sitting, and the king of Yisrael would be standing, this was not good public relations. This would right away, everyone would take note, everyone would snap pictures, and it would appear in all the papers, and they would see the two kings, one sitting, one standing, and what is everyone going to say? The one that's standing is an imposter. Because if he can only stand, this one can sit. And this would slowly lead to the weakening of his malchus and people realizing the chait they had committed by rebelling against the melech of Yehuda and giving loyalty, transferring the loyalty to the melech of Yisrael. So this was something that he was terrified of. Yeravim ben Nevat was terrified of this image, of this scene, which would ruin, he felt, that this image, this picture. Imagine, he had a sense in those days of, he was way ahead of the times. Today we can appreciate this, the media and all the public relations, but he was terrified of this image of him being seen standing and him sitting. Therefore he decided what he's going to do is he's going to prevent anyone part of his malchus from making aliyah during the Shalosh Regalim, in order to give the people an outlet to serve Hashem. He built replicas of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know exactly if it was an exact replica, but he built massive structures that competed with the Mikdash, one in Basel, one in Dun, two ends of the country, and people should go there, and made his own servants. Now when they started, now here's something that's very interesting, very important about this Pasuk. It says here first that in Pasuk Tezvah, Vayamid lo Kohanim, he established priests. They're not, these are just imposters, people from all the 10 Shvatim, he appointed them as ministers in La Bamos, for his Bamos, for these altars that he constructed. And what did they do on these Bamos? So it says here, Velas Se'irim. Now, Se'irim are demons. Demons. We don't find.
Oh, I don't know, ghosts.
They really want to come to the shear, that's why they're here. That's why they came with their sirens. Okay, but they came with the Se'irim. Se'irim are demons. Demons are koichos of tuma. The egel is not a koich of tuma. Egel, I'm not a bucky in all different forms of avodah zarah, but from the little bit that I've read is that there's a very big difference between worshipping egels, these golden calves, and serim. An egel, when Klal Yisrael made the egel, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean they actually believe that the egel is what took them out of Egypt? So if you look, study deeper, Avodah Zarah is that, Avodah Zarah does not begin where a person fully rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, Hashem is there, it's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave from His power to teva, to nature, or to different objects. It's too hard for man to relate, to worship, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source itself. Hashem, people feel that Hashem is too far removed. People need a medium. They need to worship objects, and through the objects, they have some indirect connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I'm just saying words. I don't know exactly what this means. But when Klal Yisrael began to worship the sun and the moon, the Ramban explains, it doesn't necessarily mean that when they worship the sun and the moon, they rejected the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they believe that these things are intermediaries, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have given them power, and by showing, giving honor, and worshipping these things, that will cause there to be a trickle-down effect, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given power to these stars, and the moon and the sun, will then in turn bestow blessing upon man. The Egel, to some degree, functions in the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and this calf is some type of intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. But Se'irim is a whole different league. When you worship Se'irim, you're worshipping a competitor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not acknowledging the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're using koichos of tumah. It's not a form of service. It is a form of black magic. It's okay. It's something. I don't know what these things are. So I'm, what? Sor la zazel. I don't.
The Rabban says.
Yep. The Sitra Achra. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has created a power of the Satan, and you're basically acknowledging the Satan's existence. The Sor la zazel doesn't mean you worship the Sar. It means we acknowledge. You're giving him his honor. You're giving him his due. We acknowledge that there is a force in this world, that Yetzahara, and our acknowledgement. That's all we have to do. We have to acknowledge. Okay, I'm just saying words. I don't know if this even makes any sense, or if this is true, or this is not because, so don't hold me accountable to what I'm saying. But
usually, you see in depiction of the devil or Satan, you usually see goats.
Goats. Because that is a force of evil. It's a source of black magic. The only point I want trying to make is there's a major difference in the encyclopedia of idolatry between worshipping calves and worshipping Se'irim. And in fact, in Sefer Melachim, this is a very fascinating insight that the Mefarshim point out, that in Sefer Melachim, there is no mention whatsoever that Klal Yisrael was worshipping goats. Of this form of Avodah Zarah called Se'irim. The only thing that we have mentioned is that he set up calves, a golem made from gold. The Ralbag pasuk tesvav. Vayamelu kohenam lebonos lesim v'aglim asher v'aso hu me'in amru v'lo yizvu od as zivchem las seirim. Says in the pasuk, do not offer sacrifices to the goats. The heim shaden, the seirim are shaden, demons, v'dimyonim, kozvim, and false imaginary things. Sha'asu mehem, which they made from elohus, they made from them gods. O hayu misupakim im lemazel shor yitnu hag. Hagedula b'dvar hatzlachas Yisrael v'yitzis Mitzrayim or lemazel tleh, k'mo shahayu choshrim hamitzrim lezeh hayatzon elil Mitzrayim lefi shahayu yesa semach maldavar ha'agolim b'bnei ha'egel asher osa Aaron lezacha b'sefer melachim kiim ha'agolim. There it only mentions the sefer ha'agolim v'zecher. Okay, fine. Okay. But the basic idea is, okay, this is the slippery slope. They start out here, you see, in retrospect, in Sefer Melachim, we're focusing on what was happening in real time, so to speak. At the beginning, Yeravam ben Nevat, he established a golem, similar to what Aaron did for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, Eil Elohecha Yisrael, which is obviously a terrible thing. Avodah Zarah, there's no excuse, but it's not anywhere near the lowliness of Se'irim. That's a much, much worse form of idolatry. Here, in hindsight, looking back, now when they're building the Bayis Sheni in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we're letting you know how far they slipped, the slippery slope. They went there first, it was just a little deviation from the truth with Agolim, and then you should be aware that one thing led to another until they came to the worst of the worst of worshipping the Seirim. And in fact, it mentions it first. That's also what's so fascinating here. It mentions, first it says for the Bomos. Now the Bomos also, as we mentioned so many times, the Bomos was a direct insult to Shlomo HaMelech. The Bomos is, when you say the word Bomos, it means we're going to have Bomos. Yerushalayim is not the final resting place. L'shichno sidrashu uvasa shama. There was a Gilgal, there was a Shiloh, there was Nov, there was Givon, there's Yerushalayim. Very nice. It's just one more stop on the train. But there's more to go. And if there's more to go, we're not the final resting place, Bamos Amutar. But by making Bamos, what he's really saying to David, to the Malchus of David, that we're not finished. You think that this is the final resting place, L'shichna Siddushu Vasa Shama, and you've built your capital in Yerushalayim? It's illegitimate. It's not correct. We're not finished. Klal Yisrael, this is a very interesting technique. He was able to persuade Klal Yisrael that this really was true. It worked all the way until the time of Yoshiyahu, all the way down, and Chizkiyahu, all the way for a very long time. He was able to convince Klal Yisrael there's nothing wrong by worshipping, bringing Karbonos to Hashem in Beis El Andon, just because there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash does not prohibit us from building Bamos, because the Beis HaMikdash is not the final resting place. If it's not the final resting place, then Bamos are mutter. And that's what it says here. There's Bamos, and it led to worshipping idols, demons, Ras Irim, men Lagolim Asher Osa. Okay, Pasik Tezayin, the Acharehem, he called the Shifte Yisrael. Now, after him, the Acharehem means they abandoned. This pasuk acharei means acharei, after the kohanim and the real kohanim and the levim. Let's just jump right away to the mitzudos David. The achareihem, acharei bo hakohanim vehalevim. The pasuk has zayin is going back to pasuk yudalit. See, the psukim here have to be understood in context. Pasuk Yedal, we learned yesterday, it says ki azu halavim es migushehem v'achuz asam v'yelchu liyehuda v'liyushalayim ki hiznicham yiravim ubond of michahein l'hashem. The kohanim and the levim that were living in the territory of the Aseres HaShvatim had no choice but to pick themselves up and leave the Aseres HaShvatim and join Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, because they had no function, they had no role. Yeravam ben Nevat did not allow them to participate in his temples that he built in Beis El and Don. So they picked themselves up and they went to Yerushalayim to join Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin and to pledge their allegiance to Rechavam. Who else? Now we detoured, we had a pasuk in the middle, because why? Because they were rejected. Now the Acharehem, after the Kohanim and the Levim joined Shevet Yehuda, we should be aware there were many people who also defected from Shevet Malchus of Yisrael. The Acharehem, he called Shiftei, the remembrance, we call Shiftei Yisrael, Hanaisnim es Levavam. They devoted their hearts, Levakesh es Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Bohu Yerushalayim, Lizboyach Lashem Elokei Avosehem. They also joined Rechavam. They recognized the MS, not to follow Yeravam ben Nevat. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayichasku es Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda was strengthened. Vayamsu es Rechavam ben Shlomo l'shanim shalosh. And they strengthened. Another word, Vayamsu is another word which is almost identical as far as we're concerned to the word Vayichasku. Meloshen oimetz v'choizek, chazak v'yamatz, chazak, that's chazek, this week's parash, Vayamsu es Rechavam, they strengthened Rechavam ben Shlomo for l'shanim shalosh, for 3 years. Rechavam was only served Hashem with a full heart for 3 years out of his 17 years. Rechavam was the king for 17 years. Only he was good, he was loyal to Hashem for 3 years. Ki holchu b'derech David u'shlomo l'shanim shoshko, he only followed Hashem's ways for 3 years. The Mefarshim are critical of Rechavam, and they tell us that that he served Hashem was shalei l'shma. It was not 100% l'shma, he only served Hashem for 3 years because he was afraid that Yeravam ben Nevat would destroy him. He was extremely weak. In the beginning, after the rebellion, when 10 Shvatim rebelled, he was petrified that they would come and they would conquer Yerushalayim, and he would have have nothing left. They would wipe him out. He'd be killed. So therefore, out of fear, he served Hashem for 3 years. And in that sechus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. And he was able to fortify his malchus and build cities and build fortifications. After 3 years passed, when he realized, l'piderech hateva, now he's secure. He built fortified cities, and he has enough money and an army to al pi derech hateva to maintain his malchus and not to be overcome by the malchus of Yisrael. So now I no longer have a reason to fear Hashem. The only reason why I'll fear Hashem is l'shma, l'shem shemayim, because I believe in the cause. I don't believe in the cause. I just did it because out of fear. Now I'm no longer afraid. I serve Hashem l'shem shemayim. I'm not interested, and that's why he turned sour. He turned sour at this point in time. Now, before we go to his wives, let's just take a quick look at the Mitzudos and the Rashi's pasuk tezvav and the Mitzudos pasuk tezvav. Vayamelo Yeravam Hemid Leatzmo Kohanim V'lo Mibnei Aharon LaSeirim Shadim Hanirim B'demus Seirim Demons that look like goats L'mish Shemamim Mohem, to people who believe in them. He worshipped the Koychos of Tuma. A very low form of idolatry, the worst of the worst. We have more people who defected. We have here. Fine. Rashi. Rashi pasik tes. Why did Yerav ben Nevat reject the Kohanim Levim? Lefi shehemed Kohanim koimim lasim, because he established priests to serve his goats, his demons. And I guess those who the real Kohanim would not tolerate such a thing. The Kohanim would never stoop to such a low. You only can fool people a little bit. You can't fool people that much. And therefore, they would never go for this. So right from the very beginning, he rejected them.
Rashi is saying that he uses the term Kohen, which really a priest, a bishop, a cardinal.
In his time, it will mean someone associated
with Avodah Zarah, but rather than the term Kohanim.
Right. Not the real thing. Not the.
That's what the pasuk.
Not from Sheva. The Kohanim here does not mean Kohanim from Sheva. Kohanim here means a priest, a koimer, a priest from Avodah Zarah. Okay, the next Rashi. Okay, that's it for the Rashis. Now, one quick thing I want to mention before we go further is there's a Mevish Yeravam ben Nevat. Who was Nevat? Yeravam, the son of Nevat. So Nevat, according to the Medrash, was Micha. And it was also, he was the same person as Micha, and there was...
I don't think Micha is the same as...
There was a person by the name of Micha who was Pesel. According to one approach, Pesel Micha means he was in charge. He was the person that established this Avodah Zarah from Shevet Dan. He was from his father or his mother. Okay, it's a medrash. One of these medrashim which basically say that this person had a history. It wasn't just all of a sudden we have a person now out of the blue that turns sour. The person here that turns sour, this is a recurring theme in Nach. People who turn sour have a history of turning sour. They come from bad stock. He was Yeram ben Nevat. Nevat was also Micha. There's another person.
So why would they pick him as a melech comes from bad?
He fooled them. That's the success of all leaders. Yeah, you have to play both sides of the coin.
Very dynamic person.
Korach. Look at Korach. They say the Hasidim say that if we were alive, Korach had 250 followers. If we were alive at the time of Korach, they say, I've read this in many places, everyone today in this generation would have been swept away by Korach. Moshe was not a match for Korach. Korach was much more charismatic, dynamic, He had all the milas karach. Moshe was a kvad peh. It's brought down that our generation, all the generations of godless, if we were living in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have in an instant, in a heartbeat, would have abandoned Moshe and would have followed Korach. Korach was, he knew how to talk. He knew everything he said made sense. It was kal v'chomer. If one mezuzah is enough to protect the bias, doesn't it make sense if you have a room full of Sifrei Torah? Do you need a mezuzah? If a little teeny piece of tcheles is enough to patter the beged from tzitzis, if the beged itself is tcheles, does it require tzitzis? Of course not. Korach was brilliant, and he was handsome, charismatic.
He was wealthy,
money, kesef yane sakol. He knew how to do it. Chassidim are very tikkur. Someone told me that Chassidim, all the Chassidish rabbis, there's a mesar among Chassidim. They all look for zuchusim for Korach. They're always trying to. There's something to it. They're always trying to overlook his chesronos and build him up. Okay, but this person had a bitter. Okay, now we come to the wives. Okay, all the good people always get in trouble with the women. And here we go. Shlomo's downfall came because of his wife, because he took too many wives. And David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, Adam and Chava. Okay, Kol Asher Toimar Sara Shma B'Koyla. Right, he didn't want to listen to her. And Yitzhak and Rivka, the whole disagreement, who's going to get the brachos? Yitzhak, they didn't see eye to eye. So here, once again, history repeats itself, and here we come to the fatal mistake of what happened with the wives of Rechava. Pasuk, Yud Ches. Vayikach leRechavam Isha. He took 18 wives, but among his 18 wives were the three main wives. And the three main wives came from his own family. Okay, the first wife, her name was Machlas. She was, here it says Ban, but it's where we read Bas, the daughter of Yerimos. Who was Yerimos? Yerimos was Ben David. He took basically his cousin. He took his second cousin as his wife. Then he took Avi Halbas Eliyov ben Yishai. The second wife, now this is very important, Bas Eliyov. Who is Eliyov? Eliyov was the oldest son of David. And of Yishai, in other words, this was David's brother, and he had a daughter called Avihail. This beautiful medrash, and that means she was the queen. She was Shlomo HaMelech's queen. The medrash says this is what we see. Rashi brings this down. This is what misled Shmuel. When Shmuel, we learned yesterday that there were three selections. Yehuda, this week's parasha, Lo Yosef Yehuda ben Raglav. Then there was Yishai, and then there was a selection to be made among Yishai's eight sons. When Shmuel arrived at the home of Yishai to appoint a king, he was to make a selection: which of his eight sons should be the melech. David was not even in the running. David was out in the field. There were only seven sons present. Who did he see? He saw Eliyav. He saw Eliyav, and he immediately wanted to anoint Eliyav. He took the Karen of oil to anoint him king. Why? Shmuel was a Navi. Shmuel saw in Eliyav Malchus. But Hashem said, no, I don't want him, I'm rejecting him. How could Shmuel make such a mistake? Shmuel was a Navi, was a prophet. When a Navi makes a mistake, it's not like a mistake black and white. It's a very small, fine point. What was the mistake? He saw in Eliyav, he saw his daughter. He saw that from Eliyav would come Malchus. He was right. Shmuel was right. Because from Eliyav came
marriage of his children.
Right. Eliyav would have a daughter one day whose name would be Avihail. And the Avihail would marry Rechavam. And Rechavam indeed was the king. And from they had children, and that was part of the royal family. So he did sense in Eliyav Malchus. It's just that Hashem said, you're making a mistake. It's not Eliyav, it's his daughter that will be the queen and will have much influence over the makeup of Klal Yisrael, the future makeup of Klal Yisrael, but not actually to be the Zera, not to be the actual son. So it's very similar to Osnas Bas Potifera. Everyone knows the famous Chazal that Osnas, she persuaded, she told Yosef, I see in the stars, even Yosef saw, I see in the stars that it's meant to be. That it's meant to be Eishes Potifar from us. What she did not realize, it was not her herself, it would be her daughter. Yosef did not know that. That was part of the Nisan. Yosef said, that's right. Vayavo lebeis salasas malachta. Samler malachta means he went to be with her. Finally got to him. If it's bashert, it's bashert. Everything stims. Right, they went to the palm readers and they said everything is good. They went to the Mekubal. Everything is good. Everything, all systems go. But he realized that was the miracle. He realized, no, not all systems go. There are problems. So it's exactly the same, not the same concept over here. Shmuel. Ani haroya. I'm the roya. Hashem says, you're not the roya. You think, you see, you are a roya. You see Malchus. But it's not from Eliyav, it's going to be from his son. So he took it as his wife. Now these two wives, because you have Machlas, then you Rimos, then we have Avihail, Basilev, then Davatil Bonim. So now they lo bonim, and she gave birth to Hitlo. Now it's not clear who gave birth to who. Okay, Rashi needs to point out, what we know is that the combination of these two wives produced children. Vatele lo bonim, es yush, v'yashemaria. It's not clear who gave birth to who. Vatele lo, is that going back on the first wife, or is it going back on the second wife? I believe the Mitzudas makes that point. Vatele lo, look at the Mitzudas Pasuk Yutes. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yutes, Vatele lo, achas mehen. One of them. Which one? It's not clear. Vatele lo, es bonim, es yush, v'yashemaria. Yes, Zoham, three sons. Now, he now takes a third wife. Now, he already, this was a bad mistake. He now takes a third wife, and this wife he was the daughter of Avshalom. Avshalom was not a good person. We know that Avshalom rebelled. Avshalom was a Rasha. He wanted to kill his father. He rebelled against his father, and nothing good comes from a Russia. And therefore it was not proper for him to take the daughter of the one who almost destroyed the Malchus of his grandfather. However, love conquers all. He liked her the most. And he liked her the most. It was not a good shidduch, but that's the way it was. V'acharecho lokach es macha bas Avshalom. A fatal mistake. V'atel lo es aviyah. And she bore for him this person called Aviyah, Vies Atai, Vies Ziza, Vies Shlomis, all these nice names today, Vies Shlomis. What does the Pasuk Pchof Aleph say? Vayehav Rechavam Es Macha Bas Avshalom Mikol Nashav. He loved her the most, which was not good, because she was the third wife. The Malchus belongs, the successor really goes to the oldest child. That's the default. The default is the oldest child is the successor. L'chor, maybe Rechavim was also L'chor, was the oldest child. Very possible. Not exactly sure. But certainly here, it was not meant to go from the third wife for two reasons. The children were younger, and she was from bad stock. She was the daughter of an evil father, of Shalom. Now, today you'll tell me it's not fair, right? Today you'll say that you got to give each person a chance. We live in a society where we don't connect a child to a son. The father was good, very good, but the son has to earn his keep. He has to make it on his own. That's the way we live, and it's absolutely there's truth to that, 100%. But you learn in Chazal, there's more to it. There's definitely you don't get this from today's society, but this appears over and over in Chazal, is that a son, there's something to a son, no matter what. The fact that he is the son of a person that we have yichus. There's something to yichus more than just the word yichus. There's something more to it. But here it says he married. and Ufilakshav, and he loved his Pilakshin. He had a love for women. Kinoshim Shmoina Esrei Nosa. He married 18 wives. So this is a Mila. This is an act of righteousness, because a king is only allowed to marry 18 wives. This was the Navi told David. David had 6, and David, when Nosan Hanavi gave Musar to David, why did you need to take this woman Bathsheba? You have already 6 wives. What do you need another wife? 6 is not enough. And if you want more, I can double it. I can triple it to 18. But what are you taking this woman Bathsheba? So here we took the max 18, which means that in the first 3 years of his Malchus, he followed the rules. He followed the rules of Malchus, nothing with 18 wives. So Pilakshim Shishim, he had 60 Pilakshim. Vayoldu Eshrim Ushmoyne Bonim, he had 28 children, Vishishim Bonos, and 60 daughters. Okay, that's disproportionate. Shidduch crisis, right here. Here's where the Shidduch crisis started.
Fine.
60.
Several wives.
Okay, good point. Okay, but it was a disproportion. Shishim Bonos. Vayame Lerosh Rechavam Esavia. Okay, Vayame Lerosh Rechavam Esavia. So who did Rechavam point? In other words, at this point in his lifetime, he was king for 17 years. I guess he sensed his time is going to come soon. That means he would die a young man. He was only 41 years old when he became king. So I guess he started to plan for the successor. And Bayame Lirosh Rechavam Es Avia Ben Machol Linogid Be'echov, he appointed him as a prince. He elevated him. He gave him the Kesayin Sapasim. Why? Ki Leham Licho. It was his intent to make him the next Melech, which obviously brought friction into the Malchus, because the children from the first two wives were very disturbed. They were disturbed. The Malchus goes to us, not to the child of the third wife, especially she is not from the best Yichus. No one exactly was very fond of her father, Avshalom. Vayoven, and we'll learn the pasuk at this point in one interpretation. Vayoven means Rechavam was a very wise man. He understood that he was setting himself up for trouble. Vayoven means Havana, Bina, the same name Lahovin, to understand. He understood that this is a recipe for disaster. So what did he do to counteract the problem of giving favoritism, showing favoritism to the child of the third wife? Vayifrots, he dispersed. Mikol Bonov, he sent away his other children, his 28 children, which obviously came from other wives and from the Pilakshim. Mikol Bonov, l'chol aritzos Yehudu v'nyamin, he dispersed them. He sent them out of the palace. Don't stick around here at home. I don't want you to watch what's going to go on over here. Establish your own bias. And what else did he do? L'chol orei hamitzuros. He sent them to all the fortified cities. Vayitein lahem mazon l'rov. He gave them food in abundance. Vayishal hamon nashim. And he made requests. He was involved in shidduchim. He married off his children to very prominent families. Why? He wanted to establish. What? What did he say?
That's what Rashi said.
What did he say?
They should live off their father-in-law.
Vayishal hamoy nashim. He made a request. He sought out a multitude of wives. Each child, he married them off, 18 wives. Why? Because he wanted to make them happy. He wanted they should be established. They should have their own life. Why? So that when the day comes that Rechavam dies and the successor, the rise will be the son of the third wife, Aviah, there should be no machloikis. No one should contest the Malchus. The only time you're looking for trouble is when you're not happy with your own life. If these children will have cities and they'll have parnosa and they'll still say, "Why do I want to be in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is a little place, a little palace, a few things that go on there. I have a much better life. I live in this city. I live in Beis Shemesh. I'm the mayor of Beis Shemesh. I have here thousands of people. I have all these state dinners and all of these events. I'm I'm happy with myself. I'm a mechudin. I'm married to the daughter of five kings. He wanted to make his other children happy so that there should be no problem when he would die and would allow and desire the malchus to go to his son Aviah, the son of his third wife. This is one approach. This is one approach in the pasuk. Now there's another approach. We'll read the words inside. This really comes to the Malbim. He really elaborates in much more detail. But the other approach is when it says in the pasuk Gimel Vayavin, Vayavin is now referring to Rechavim. Rechavim said, "It's not my problem. Whatever will be, will be. I'm the king. I have a good life. I have 28 sons, 60 daughters. I have made a decision. I wrote a will. And my will, it says that the one that will succeed me will be Aviah. There'll be a civil war. There'll be a mechama. There'll be battles. They'll be in court fighting over the malchus. So be it. That's not my problem. I'm just laying down what I want to be. I'll let the children fight it out when it's all over." So Vayoveh means Aviah saw that things are not going to be good when Rechavim dies, and he's going to have this major problem on his head, this major sichsuch with his brothers. So Aviah went, and he used his power to get rid of his brothers in his own lifetime. He went, he was a nugget. He was a prince. His father gave him authority, gave him more authority than the other brother. So Aviah, the subject of Pasuk Chaf Gimel, is not necessarily Rechavam, but it's Aviah himself who understood. Ezel Chacham, Haroyes Hanoilad. You see what's coming, what's going to happen when our father dies, Rechavam dies, there's going to be a Machlok. So he used his influence, Vayivrots Mikol Bonav, now Mikol, we're going back on all of the Bonav of Rechavam, he dispersed them throughout the land, so that they should have their own lives, and they should marry many people, and they shouldn't bother him when Rechavam dies, he could secure the Mal, take the Malchus for himself. Or, what it means is, the third interpretation the Malbim Lab explains is that Aviah didn't go and try to do good for his brothers. He himself married many wives. Vayishal Hamoin Noshim means Aviah himself married 100 wives. Only a king can have more than 18 wives. But he was a civilian at this point in time, so he married 100 women, and he had thousands of children, whatever, I'm just giving a guzma, many children, and he sent his children all over the country in order that he should be established and no one will dare rebel against him when his father dies, and he'll be able to easily secure the malchus. So basically, there are three mahalchim. It's a hard pasuk. There are three mahalchim when it says pasuk of Gimel Vayiven Vayifrotz Mikol Bana. It first starts, who is Vayoven? I said Vayoven. Is Vayoven referring to Rechavam or is Vayoven referring to Aviah? Number two, if we assume that the word Vayoven refers to Aviah, when it says Mikol Bonav, does that mean Aviah's own children to secure his malchus? Or does it mean that he used his power as a nugget in the palace to send away his father's children, so that which are means his brothers, and married them all off to very chashuva families so that they'll be happy where they are? And that when their father will die, Rechavim will die, there should not be any machlekes. That's the basic gist of Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Let's look at the Mitzudos. The three wives, Pasuk, starting from Pasuk Yitches, Pasuk Yitches says, Vayikach, the second wife was Avihayil Basaliyov, Chosar Vav. We're missing here, Vav here, Chosar Vav, Hachibur, Kumo Shemesh. In other words, he's pointing out, the Pasuk, read the pasuk Yitches one more time. Vayikach le'Rechavim isha bas machlas bas yirimos ben David. It should say, and ve'avihayil. He took a second wife. There's a missing vav. There's a vav hachibur. That's the vav that's missing between ben David and the word and the name Avihail, because the pasuk means that he took for himself a second wife whose name was Avihail. But that's not a problem. That's the way the psukim are written. That's the style of grammar in the ksuvim. The chos of vav hachibur moshemesh yerech Reuven Shimon. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, so Pasuk Yudches, right? There is no Pasuk Yudches, right? There is no Pasuk Yudches. Okay, that's just something we'll have to keep in mind that we're missing a Vav. Okay, Pasuk, let's go back to Pasuk, in the Mitzudos, Pasuk, Yutes va'atel lo achas, and one of the wives. Pasuk abeis ve'amel l'rosh rechavam. Rechavam hemel l'rosh esavia liyos l'nagid b'chol echav ki choshav liham l'choy. Okay, when it says in the pasuk ki liham l'choy, these psukim, they're written in a very unusual fashion. Because he had kavan, he wanted to make him the king. That's why he appointed him as a prince in his lifetime. Then the pasuk says vayoven. So the mitsudos explains hivin bedavar mered upachad bimenu. He was afraid. He understood that there is potential for rebellion. He dispersed korbanim l'cholarotzos Yehuda binyam l'cholarim mitzvah l'shabam min hamered. The mitzudos has another, a fourth interpretation. I've got to say this. This is a fourth interpretation that Vayavim is not referring to. It's not a continuation of securing the malchus of Rechavam. Vayavim is just general pasuk that Rechavam was paranoid. Rechavam was paranoid that even though he spent 3 years fortifying cities, then who knows, maybe there's going to be rebellion among his own people. There are two forms of rebellion. The first section of Perek Yud Aleph tells that he was afraid of war, a civil war with Malchus of Yehuda. Now this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, is telling us that Rechavam was afraid that within his own camp, within his two shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, the people may rebel. And they may decide they don't like him anymore. They want to appoint a new king among themselves. So therefore, he himself, according to them, still sent out his children among the entire country in order to strengthen his malchus. Anyone that would rebel, he would get worried and he could nip it in the bud. Okay. Larov in abundance, l'bal yitztarchu l'shom me'esa'am, they should be independent, l'shaparnas v'yishal hamoy nashim, l'hasiyam l'banav l'man yichazik m'melucha be'ezer ovas hanashim, in order that he should have strength, you be a mechudin. When you're mechudin, when your enemy is your mechudin, so he's not, so you're not your enemy, because you have the same interest in mom. We have this very often in history, where it usually does not work out well. Right? It makes a lot of sense that you want to strengthen your malchus, so you different kingdoms they marry off their children to each other.
Alliances,
and that then they have their same interest, the children, and that way they feel there'll be less friction. But history has proven that almost 99% of the time, when this technique was done, it resulted in bigger wars. Never worked out well, especially with the Greeks, with
Ptolemy,
even in Spain. There are a lot of stories that this type of arrangement does not usually work. Stick to your own. don't click where you don't belong. It doesn't always work out well. Okay, now we come. What? It also doesn't work out well. It's not a joke. It does not work out well. You would think, oh wow, how beautiful, how wonderful, achdus coming together. It doesn't. It just.
They try to hide it.
You have to. Okay, so that's unfortunately things that are logical don't always work out practically. Okay, let's go to the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk. Linogid. Okay, here's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi here, the second wife was Avihail. Avihail bas Eliyav. Kumoi the Avihail. Same thing that the vav is missing. The Gemosoi kikeves aluf. I'm not sure what that means. It means that also a vav is missing. There's another example where a vav is missing. This is the secret. See, now this pasuk is the reason why Shmuel made the mistake of thinking that Hashem chose Yishai's oldest son. When Eliyahu was passed before Shmuel, the Omar, and Shmuel said, ach, certainly, neged Hashem Mishicho, before Hashem is his anointed one, this is the one that you have selected to be the king. And it's concerning this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, kum no this is the one upon whom Hashem is going to say, Kumna Moshehu ki hu zeh, v'tobo Shmuel. Hashem said, no, ki ma'astihu, I have rejected him. Why? Sheroha bitoy shel Eliyav. He saw Piruch HaKodesh, the daughter of Eliyav, Eishes Rechavam Malka, the queen. V'al zeh hadover nenash, and that's why he was punished. He said, Kishmuel, when Shaul asked him, where is the Beis Haroya? When Shaul was wandering looking for a sheep, and he came across this man, and he heard that there's a Roya, there is a prophet in the vicinity, in this neighborhood, and he met this person, he did not know that there were, that was Shmuel. Where is the Roya? Vayomer Shmuel, Anochi Haroya, I am the seer. That was a little gaiva. That's not the right thing to say. You should not go and say Anochi Roya. He did not respond with humility. Loimar ma tirtza, what do you want? In your life, I will punish you. I'll show you that you're not the Roya. Your koyach only comes from me, not from Anochi. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chayach, in your lifetime, ata osa liros, you're going to see v'loyteh ma shema tira. Ki toha be'liyav, here it was when he made him say, with Eliyav, abito, abito hamalka, and his daughter, the queen. L'neged, l'negid li'achiv, Rechavim appointed the child of Avshalom as his successor, Lehamlichai. Vayifrotz Pizer Ban of Luchol Arzos Yehuda, to all the lands of Yehuda. Dugma Ubeis Avihem parts to the Rav, that their family spread out far, far away. Now let's look at the Malbim. It's a very nice. Rashi says, he just said, Mato, what do you want? He just, where's the Roya? So Rashi, he should have said, what would you like? What would you like? That would imply that he is the Roya. Shaul said, where is the Beis HaRoya? What would you like? So it's instead of saying, Anochi HaRoya, what would you like? Those two words were not necessary.
How can I help you?
Exactly. Not necessary. Where's the doctor? Where's the doctor? I am the doctor.
He was dragged. He was dragged. He was not looking at you.
Okay, now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim elaborates all these. We have a total of four perushim for the word va-yoven. Let's look at the Malbim Pasuk Chav Gimel. Let's jump down to Malbim Pasuk Yud Vayoven. Okay, you have to go to the next page. And wait, where to go? Vayoven. Okay, Vayoven, you have to jump to the next one. There's no pasuk, doesn't say Pasuk of Gimel here, but that's what it's referring to. Musaf, it's on page Pehei, in the red page, Pehei. Yimei Kedem, the Malbim, the bottom. Vayoven. Musaf al Avia. It's going back to Avia. Shavia, according to the Malbim, the Malbim's first interpretation is that the word Vayoven refers not to Rechavim, like Rashi and the Mitzudos explained. Rechavim was paranoid. Rebellion. It's referring to Avia. It's a continuation of the strengthening his ability to take over his father. Musal Avia, Avia Haven taketh. Understood right away. V'yifrotz v'yiskaber mikol b'nei Rechavam. He right away expanded and overcame all of his brothers, all the brothers. L'chol arzos Yehuda. He spread them out. Yehuda. Okay, so this interpretation means that he himself, it's going to Avi himself, strengthened his hold on the Malkus by sending out his own children. According to that interpretation, that was like the third interpretation we said. He spread out his own children among all the lands in order to strengthen his Malkus. V'yishal takef hamoin noshim biyodoy kihu yimloich. And he sought out immediately wives and people in order to let the people know that he will be the successor. Okay, so the other interpretation I saw maybe in the Radak, and we'll leave it with that because I want to go further. But those are the basic interpretations of exactly who the word Vayavan refers to. Looking at Farshim, all the different interpretations to make sure that his Malchus remains firm. Okay, let's go Perek Yud Beis a little bit. Perek Yud Beis, Vayhi Kiyachin Malchus Rechavim Uche Cheskosoi. It was after he established his Malchus. He established the Malchus Rechavim Uche Cheskosoi, and it was firm. Ozav Estoras Hashem V'chol Yisrael Imo. He abandoned the Torah of Hashem, and with that, all of the people followed. Everyone abandoned the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch. Here we have the first very great tragedy. This is not the first tragedy, the second tragedy, because the Malchus already split in the time of Rechavam. But here, in a much more significant way, the people are abandoning serving Hashem. Like the cycle before the Mikdash was built during the time of the Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim, you learn back and forth, they were good, and then Hashem appointed a Shofet to save them, and then after things were good, Vayishman, Yishun, Vayivat, here we have that same cycle repeat itself in the time of the Malachim. So what happened? Now first, before we go further, one interesting point, the word Kiyachin Malchus only appears in the entire Sefer Divrei Hayam, only in reference to the Malchus of Rechavam. I'm not exactly sure why. I didn't see a good interpretation. I just saw that point made, point noted, that Kehachin Malchus Rechavam, when it was established, does not say that any other king, that their kingdom was established. There was something unique about the establishment of the Malchus of Rechavam, and it was strong. He now felt al-Piderech HaTeva he couldn't survive any attack from the Malchus of Yisrael, and therefore he let his guard down, he no longer feared Hashem, and he abandoned the Torah. And when the king does not set a good example, what happens? Naturally the people also begin to abandon the Torah. Pasuk Beis, Vayhi Bashana HaChamishis. So Hashem gave him 1 year. In the fourth year, he abandoned the Torah, and now it was the fifth year. Lemelech Rechavam, Ola Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. Along comes King Shishak. King Shishak was Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, al Yerushalayim, Ki Mualu BaHashem. Pasuk makes it very clear. The reason why he came to attack was not because he had anything special, was because it was a sign for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael rebelled against Hashem, so Hashem influenced Shishak to attack Yerushalayim. Now, what was his personal motive, Shishak? So Chazal tell us, the word Shishak comes from the word Cheshek, a desire. Who was Shishak, by the way? He was the father-in-law of Shlomo. So it's shocking what's taking place here. We have over here Rechavam's own grandfather. Does that make sense? Rechavam's own grandfather.
Why?
No, not a grandfather. No, I'm sorry. Not Elijah. I'm sorry. But it means his own, his father. His own father's father-in-law. Now that marriage was a political marriage. It wasn't like we know that when Shlomo married the daughter of Paro, he built for a palace. He closed up the Milo, the open air, the plaza to build for a palace. But this person was Shlomo. It's very interesting. He knew who he was, and he now turned sour, and he came to attack Yerushalayim. What did he want? Chazal Darshan, the word Shisha comes from Cheshek. He wanted the throne of Shlomo. We spent a day going through the Medrash, reading about the Kisei Shel Shlomo, this magical throne, which had six steps, had a chair from ivory, and had armrests, and had a crown, and had these different types of magnets, and different types of machines, and lions would roar, and birds would chirp, and all these mystical things would happen when one would ascend the throne. And the world, all the kings of the world were chalishing, were desperate to acquire this throne. This was his primary objective, to conquer, to take away this throne. Now that Shlomo had died, he felt, I guess, that his son-in-law, Shlomo, died. It's only fair that the throne becomes the property of the father-in-law of Shishak. Shishak, Loshem Cheshek, desire. Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim, Ki Molo BaHashem, he came to rebel. Now this, how did he come? The Elef Umosayim Rechav, 1,200 chariots, with Shishim Elef Parashim, 60,000 horsemen, the Ein Mispar La'am Asher Bo Imo, Mitzrayim Luvim, Suchiyim Vichushim. Now what are these three things? So you look in the Mitzudos Sion, These are different type of exotic. They don't even have filling hat over here. These are different type of luvim, shemos, the goymer shemos of. No. Different types of animals. Different types of animals.
Animals?
Yeah, different type. No, that's not what it's kalulim. That's not. I think. Have it spelled?
In
spelled out? Avoid
so
askilulim?
Yeah,
different going, different people, different people, luvim, okay. Different nations. Members of hired mercenaries. Hired mercenaries accompanied Melech Sheshak to come and attack. Okay, now, okay, so one more pasuk. Vayilkod Asariha Mitzuros Asher Yehuda, he conquered the fortified cities of Asher Yehuda, Vayavo Al Yisham, he came to Shem. So all those fortified cities which he built, which Shechav spent the first years of Malchus building and fortifying, were now conquered by Shishak, and he now made his march on Yerushalayim. Now this is an extremely significant event, because for the very first time since Yitzias Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is coming to attack. It's coming to take us back. Klal Yisrael was standing now about, at this point in time, it's about 500 years since Yitzias, approximately 500 years since more, since Yitzias Mitzrayim. They built the Beis HaMikdash 480 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim, and now when the Malchus are 40 years later, it took 7 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. So you fast forward to about another 30 years, 33 years, plus the Malchus of Rechavim 5 years, so you're dealing with about another 40 years later, whatever it is, about 520 years later, approximately. 520 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everything that we say in davening, all the mitzvahs are to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. They were no longer slaves to Melech Mitzrayim. We are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the years, these years, there were many battles, many tragedies, but all of them involved the Pelishtim. All of them involved conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael. Egypt was not an issue. We left Mitzrayim. And now, after the Mikdash has been built, and we're supposed to have brought Mashiach, and the world is supposed to have reached a perfection, basically what Hashem is telling us, you failed big time. You failed big time. I took you out of Mitzrayim, you built a Mishkan, I gave you 500 years to conquer the land, okay, you had problems, and now you finally got there with the Mikdash and with the Malchus. You have Malchus, Mikdash, this is it. And what do you do? What do you do when it's all over? Ribbono shel Olam, we don't need you anymore. We don't need you. This Pasuk Aleph in Perek Yibeis is just the most horrible Pasuk, probably the whole Sefer. Ozav es Torah Hashem v'chol Yisrael imo. They abandon. It's one thing to them have abandoned the Torah during the first 500 years. There was no Beis HaMikdash, right? There was no Beis HaMikdash. There was no Malchus David. So we didn't really get there yet. We did the Egel, there was Meraglim. Make a lot of mistakes on the way. But now we got there. There are no more excuses. Hashem gave us everything. The whole land, the Mikdash, Malchus. And now you rebel? You abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know what? Go back to Mitzrayim. Go back where you came from. Let the Egyptians come and take you back under their servitude. You'll be avodim to Mitzrayim. That is the deeper message here in this pasuk. It's a very frightening pasuk. Let's read the Mitzvot and Rashi. We'll stop. Pasuk, the first psukim in the Mitzvot, pasuk Aleph. Ma'alu, they rebelled. Pashu mardu luvim shemos hatzilulim levesim shetzion. I'm sorry. Kimalu uvavoyin zebaleim ha'oyev. Because of the sin, the enemy came upon them. There is no more. Shahaya, where am I reading from? I skipped the page here. No wonder. Okay, and what does Rashi say? No Rashi. Okay, so we'll stop here with this.